This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
I've got too much stuff here.
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to go with all this.
We should have started the show like 45 minutes ago.
I know. I don't have control over that.
Man.
Don't look at me.
I'm looking at you, pal.
If you want to change the clock on this, you can go to Sage. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I will.
All right. 92.7 WMDX. I don't know why we're talking about this. You know, this is always as dumb as talking about the drones.
I know. The drones are just, they're top shelf story now. It's headlines every time. Nobody knows what they are.
No one knows.
Nobody can figure it out. We've got a military. We've got the, you know, Homeland Security. Everybody's up in arms. People in New Jersey and New York are going nuts.
I heard a report yesterday, and it settled it for me. They had an explanation. Mm-hmm. They said exactly what was going on.
What?
And I can't remember it.
Well, they said about a third of them are planes. The people are planes.
You know what? This is, you know, if I'm going to criticize the Biden administration, I'm going to do it again, just like I did with the damn weather balloons. I mean, I've had it right up to here. Just clear this up. Just stop the madness. Will somebody please? The drones.
Well,
oh, man, I'll tell you.
I heard this morning that part of it is the FAA changed one of the laws not too long ago.
To allow drones at night.
Yeah, they allowed drones at night.
So now everybody's flying their drones at night, right?
Right.
At least that's what I'm thinking.
It's legal to do that, apparently.
And they haven't been able to catch anybody, and they haven't been able to track the drones because the drones don't give off a heat signal, which they do. But somebody's got special drones that run without heat. I don't know. It's just dumb. This whole thing is so stupid. And you can't tell me the damn federal government somehow, or local government, or somebody can't straighten this out just once and for all. This should have been a story for a day or two.
Right.
And we're still here worried about an invasion from another planet. I just can't.
Well, we don't want to shoot them down because that could hurt somebody.
Well, yeah, it'll fall on somebody's home.
Yes.
Start a fire.
Can't do that. Can't.
Trump wants to do that. If you can't tell us what it is, just shoot them down. Well, you know, I wish you were president right now because I would have liked to have seen that happen. See how many people he can kill.
Can't they throw a net out there and put a net?
That's it. A net. Like a sky net.
A sky net.
That makes as much sense as this whole story.
I don't know. It's just nuts.
Oh.
On it goes. I think it's just a big distraction, you know, from the holiday season and everything. Everybody's now worried about the drones. And they're sighting them over other states now. They had some video of Wisconsin drones.
Did they? I don't know where.
Yeah, I don't know where it was from, but
unbelievable.
Everybody's just, you know.
Well, I guess.
Up in arms.
I guess we're going to get to the bottom of this. Someday.
The John O'Gordy research team is on it.
Yeah.
Sam, you're on it, right? You know all about drones.
Sir.
You have a drone?
My grandparents gave me like a real cheap one when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It never flew well, though. I kept crashing it into things. John, your kids seem like they would be into drones, are they?
They are not. No. Oh. No, I thought they would
be. You should
be
get
too,
them into drones
them.
And then they can like fly up and investigate.
That's what I
things.
Like. I'd like to have an aerial drone of the neighborhood. Flying around.
You want
to
keep
like
tabs
that.
On
I want
everyone
my,
else?
I, yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to see who's leaving the downtown area or not, you know. And are they spending enough time there? Does it even make downtown Middleton worthwhile to have? I'll tell the city. I'll show the city. They don't need a downtown. There's not a lot of people there.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, it is just the stupid, right?
It is.
It's just the dumbest story. I can't even imagine. It takes our minds off of RFK and
it's just some kids.
Vivek
messing around.
Yeah.
Don't Elon.
Hey, a story about Elon being an alien. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well,
so
wouldn't but, surprise me.
You know,
at this point.
He actually was an illegal alien at one time.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right.
Oh, I don't
have
care.
That coming up.
You know what? We're keeping Sam up here, awake. So,
hey, I didn't sleep that well last night, John.
What's the problem?
Oh, okay, yeah. Why
too
is
much
that?
Christmas cheer?
I don't
What's
know.
The
maybe
deal?
Maybe I just need to get a new Verlo mattress or something.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. You know, maybe you do
sleep deep, heavy. What's the word?
Sleep deep, heavy.
Deep, heavy.
I don't
sleep
think that's
better
it.
And dream bigger.
No,
or just sleep until you wake up.
Right, exactly.
Can
Would
you
like me to read it? Just this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger. See, that's the phrase. Uh-huh. Don't look at me with those googly eyes. It's a Verlo mattress. They're handcrafted, you know. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. Ask about their lifetime guarantees and check out all the wonderful accessories they have. Great big fluffy pillows.
You know, if Sam did get a Verlo mattress,
yeah,
he might have dreams of once being a mattress.
No.
I can't imagine waking up.
I don't want to go back to that dark time, John.
Well, waking up in bed thinking, am I Maddie the mattress?
Maddie.
You know, I'm stuck to the mattress.
I just morph into my bed.
Morph into your bed, yeah.
Did your mattress have a name? Your what do you
the
call
costume?
It? The costume mattress?
No, it was just one of the mattress costumes I was given to wear.
You were lucky you didn't get killed when that snowplow came along.
Yeah,
I was wearing
a mattress costume out in a blizzard.
Because that's a good idea.
And the plow trucks were coming through the road while I was like holding a sign on the street corner, and they didn't see me because I was wearing a white mattress suit.
Well, you weren't hurt, thankfully, right?
Thankfully, yeah, I was.
How long were you stuck in the drift?
Well, I pulled myself out pretty quick.
Really?
I got a little wet, though. It was kind of slushy snow.
Yeah, I would have paid to see that.
Yeah, that would have been great. Well, we got some dense fog out there, and there's a dense fog advisory till 9 o'clock this morning.
Was it a double? Or was it a single?
A double mattress?
Yeah. Yeah. Full size?
I don't know what size it was.
All right.
It was human size.
It was twin. Full size and queen or king. It wasn't a king size mattress, right?
No.
Okay.
That'd have been too big and heavy to wear.
It was a single.
Okay. Good. Whoops. Hang on. Let me turn my phone off.
Playing the flute on the show now?
That's it. Okay. Let's get to the weather. Okay. Fog this morning. Right now, 38 degrees. Very mild out there. And what's the afternoon high going to be? Let's check out the weather lottery balls machine.
I don't have my Samsung watch to help out here.
I know it. What happened?
Forgot to put it on.
First number is 4.
Oh, yeah, 4.
Going to get into the 40s today.
That's nice.
Second number is a 1.
A 1.
41 will be our high. It's already 38. So
yeah, it's pretty nice out there, actually.
It is.
I'm so disappointed that it wasn't colder over the weekend. We could have had so much snow. But instead, it was just rain and fog and gross. And all of those flyers that I hung up last week, the 300-something flyers, they're all wet and, like, soggy now.
Well, do you go back and check them and make sure
I put up a number of them around my house in my neighborhood, so I see them if I'm walking out. And
oh, really?
A sad reminder now.
Okay.
Well, it's a sad reminder for the city as well.
That we're still on the air.
The idiot that put those up. Now they're wet and soggy and hanging from a pole someplace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Let's get to the National Day calendar for
all
today.
Right,
it's the 16th day of December.
Take our minds off the drones.
It's not really, there's not much on the calendar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Slim Pickens. Is it or is it not?
That's an actor.
Yeah. What was he in? Slim Pickens. Was he in that?
Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove, yeah. Is it Barbie and Barney Backlash Day? Or National Chocolate Covered Anything Day? Or is it National Yo-Yo Day? Which one does not belong? Just three choices.
It's not National Yo-Yo
Day. You are correct. I made it easy for you today. It's not National Yo-Yo Day. That
you
could
know,
be some other day, but not today.
When I get it right, you say, oh, that was easy. No one gives me any credit pulling this thing out.
Sorry.
Fire, man. This thing is, this is a dumpster fire feature that we have.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, let's just get, you know, what?
What's the other one? What did you say, Barney? Is it like the Barney the dinosaur?
You get the, yes, Barbie and Barney Backlash Day.
I didn't
Somebody
know.
Came up with this.
Wow, okay.
Threw it in there, and they said, sure, why not? Barbie and Barney Backlash Day allows parents to take a vacation from all the repetitive sing-alongs and storytelling. Remember when we used to make fun of the Barney song?
Oh, yeah.
When Barney was really, really popular. Barney and Friends debuted in 1987. The show first aired on PBS.
I can't remember
in 1992.
That
really?
Yeah.
We can find it, I think. The
Barney
song?
Theme?
The Barney song, yeah.
Barney and Friends.
Barbie's full name is Barbara Millicent Roberts. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
The doll has a full name.
The doll has a full name. 1961, it was created by Ruth Handler. And Mattel introduced Ken Carson. Ken also has a last name. Carson. Huh. So it's Ken Carson and Barbie
Roberts. We're just finding this
Roberts.
Out. I mean, movie's
I know.
Out. Everything's done. That burned.
Portrayed in the movie.
And now we're finally finding out they have middle names as well.
Mm-hmm. Barbie was one of the first toys to have marketing strategy based extensively on TV advertising.
Good.
Estimates place over a billion Barbie dolls have been sold worldwide in 150 countries.
In a day?
No. No.
After
That's
the movie.
Over time. Okay.
Okay.
So this is a day to, you know, you can just, it's a backlash day.
Yeah.
So we don't like Barbie and Barney on this one day. Otherwise, they're fine. Okay. National Chocolate Covered Anything Day. Anything that's covered with chocolate, we salute it today. So many foods improve when we dip them in chocolate. Chocolate dipped fruits, you know, maybe you can have a chocolate fountain. Those are always, you know, whenever I see those at a big event, I just think they're really
fondue.
They're gross.
Well, I don't even know.
I would never want to
drop something in, somebody sticks a hand in it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something very
You dip your
unsettling.
Whatever in a strawberry.
Very unsettling.
Weird.
Yeah. Are we out of time already?
And we're just starting to have fun.
Oh, jeez. We've got history stuff coming up, though, right?
Pam Yonke, it's Monday.
Oh, it's that's right. Pam Yonke will join us.
We're going to be talking about the Packer movie that's coming out.
We're coming right back on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Two point seven WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning. Who is this?
Sam.
Mike Campbell.
Oh, from
that's
Tom
what the
Petty.
File's called.
Okay. Mike Campbell.
I recognized it.
Yeah, main guitar player for behind Tom Petty.
All right. Well, let's get to Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report. She's on the line right now, and we've got some big things coming up. We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers. Their big win last night. And their new movie, but first, why don't we get to feeding the animals? You've got a big story here on this, Pam. What's
Good morning,
going on,
Pam?
Yep. Morning, guys. Yeah, well, it's something that we draw attention to every year around this time. It's not a secret that a lot of organizations, associations, are hoping that you'll consider them for the end of the year donation that you're looking for, tax purposes or otherwise. And a lot of people have such big hearts when it comes to kitties and puppies and even sanctuaries and stuff like that. But The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, along with federal groups, are just reminding people it's better to donate locally than it is to send money to these large television advertisements or mailers that you get with the animals that look like they're in terrible distress and terrible shape. That's what they try to do, is really deploy on your emotion to get you to write a check. In reality, very little of the money that is donated to those large organizations ends back actually in shelters. We were talking with Stephanie Kramer. She volunteers at the Sauk County Humane Society, and she said that those large organizations, your money ends up going to pay for buildings, for salaries, for more advertising, to look for more money and things like that. And in fact, there's statistics. If you go to, I think it's called charitywatch.org, you'll find out that a lot of these organizations don't give very much, if anything, back to local shelters. They do not own or manage shelters of their own. So really, it's, I don't want to call it a Ponzi scheme because that's not the right word, but your money is not going where you think. But it is definitely needed. Just in Sauk County, they figure they see about 2,000 animals a year, and that's dogs, cats, birds, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
They also have ended up spending about $40,000 in emergency money when animals come in injured or have complications. And the money that you donate directly to your local shelters, your local humane societies, your local boots-on-the-ground groups ends up doing so much more. It not only does the daily stuff like the food, the litter, cleaning supplies, it also helps pay for building maintenance, obviously, utilities, things like that. So she was really very emphatic about, please send your money to your local humane society directly. You'll get the same tax benefits. You'll know that the money is in your community, as opposed to some of these organizations that are advertising wall to wall at this time of the year looking for your money for kitty and puppies.
Yeah, those ads, those national ads are pretty effective, though. I mean, they last a long time.
Oh, my God.
And it's just...
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, for one thing, dogs have the biggest round eyes.
And
just can't get that out of your head, you know. And
they really pull at the heartstrings.
So this is a really good idea. I appreciate that, Pam.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, and we all know that people, you know, we all get caught up on that stuff. But if you can just make sure that you're kind of monitoring these organizations, where your money goes, charitywatch.org, vet them all. And like I said, Humane Society of the United States, they've got more money in offshore accounts than any money that's ever been dedicated to helping an animal here.
Interesting. Well, how about eating locally? I mean, you know, we
holiday
need food
time
too. And what's the story on that? You know, the farm products are, you know, taking a season off here in the Midwest. So how do you do it?
You know, and honestly, this is just kind of one of those happenstance stories that I stumbled on. Last week, I was at a watershed meeting down in Whitewater, and I was talking to the chef who was making the lunch for everybody. And it was all, one of the big deals they said is this is all sourced locally, and we're going to hear a story about the food. And I thought, okay, well, let's find out about this. His name is Kyle Julius, and he is Chef at Large. That's the name of his company. And he works really hard to make sure all of his menus are focused on local stuff. And I said to him, now listen, Kyle, how in the world does a guy do that when you're in Wisconsin, December, January, February, March? Yeah. I said, are you turning to like canned goods and stuff like that? And he said, oh, no. He said he still looks for fresh greens. He was citing a couple of his farm produce partners that still had greens. We enjoyed the last of the greens. And then he said he just kind of pivots towards different herbs, different root cellar vegetables that will hold on. And he does a really good job of continuing to source local food and keeping the flavors fresh. And he said, do not be intimidated by being in Wisconsin. He said the local angle is still applicable. You just might have to be creative when it comes to what you're using and how you're kind of incorporating it.
Well,
but
Pat,
yeah, really cool guy if you want to look it up.
But don't we have those large indoor hydroponic
greenhouses? Yeah, but those are just, that's like lettuce. Okay. I mean, right now, the only systems that I've seen.
Oh, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Control lettuce
and marijuana.
Yeah, well, marijuana.
Listen, I'm a equal opportunity eater. I don't care if it's conventional, if it's organic, what it is. I'm game to eat it. But I think that you're really got to sell me on that story that local lettuce is going to tide me over from now until, you know.
Well, I will stop trying to do that, Pam. I'm sorry.
Right. Hey, we just have a minute left.
Let's talk about the Green and Gold movie that's going to be coming out. Yeah. You know, the Packers won last night against a team dressed in lime green.
Seattle, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
I just caught this when I was kind of watching the beginning of the game last night. So apparently coming out in January, this is according to the Green Bay Press Gazette, is a movie called Green and Gold. Christy Nelson is kind of the star as a struggling farmer in Wisconsin that's facing foreclosure. I mean, I just watched the trailer, and I'm a sucker for this kind of a story, and I got all choked up. It's about a daughter and a father and this and that. And he bet the farm on the Packers. And not to be here's a spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
He bet in the 90s on the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
What?
To save the farm.
Yeah. And
Charlie Barron's Manitowoc Minute guy is on there for a split second or two.
Okay.
I understand that Craig T. Nelson is going to sing the national anthem during the Bears game as part of the tie-in.
Oh, cool.
The movie is presented in part by Culver. So, again, I think you get the underlying of what we're after. I know we're tight on time. We may be able to talk about it again.
Oh, yeah.
Green and Gold, courtesy of the Press Gazette, if you want to check it out.
All right, Pam. Great idea. All right.
Great deal. Pam
Yonke, for the report.
Midwest Farm Report. Thank you, Pam.
All right.
Have a great day.
Friday.
All right. 29 past the hour.
Report's still coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Idiocracy's coming up, too.
Yep.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to John and Gordy in the Morning. It is 38 degrees, dense fog out there this morning. Slow down. Don't use those high beams. Use your fog lamps if you got them. 38 right now. We expect a high near 41. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll reveal our keyword for our contest, the grown-up giftless text-to-win contest, coming up in about a half hour.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right.
What's going on in Idiocracy?
One of my kids, warned me about going out into the fog.
Really?
This morning. Isn't that nice?
That was nice of him.
That's nice.
How did he?
Well, I said, sometimes it's a little thicker than this, but I appreciate that. That's nice.
You're waiting for it to burn off, right?
That's right. This stuff burns off when the sun comes up.
Fog doesn't burn, okay?
Is it thick enough you can cut it with a knife?
It's kind of a figurative way of talking about it.
It's okay. You can describe it like that.
It's like a flame out of the sky.
It's not like that. You're right. Okay.
Well, I'm on record as saying that.
That dense fog is going to be with us till about 9 o'clock. Then it should clear up a little bit.
That's good. That's good. I saw this unbelievable story. It's an MSNBC host was trying to tell everybody about Donald Trump's latest interview. On weekend, and she thought she'd quote from the interview, and her guest was Mark. I don't know who that is. But anyway, she goes, I'm sure you saw, Mark, you had Trump talking to Time magazine about these pardons. I'm going to, and she starts quoting the article or what Trump is saying by saying, I'm going to do case by case. And if they were nonviolent, I think they have been greatly punished. What? And the answer is, I will doing that. Yeah, I'm going to look if there's, and then she goes, I can't even read this. The syntax is so bad. You get the idea, Mark, the thing we talk about, you know. And just moved on with her interview. It was like,
maybe
oh
there was
God.
A teleprompter problem or
no.
something. No, she was
no,
reading.
No, she could just, not. She I couldn't. See, I couldn't even read what she was trying to say.
And then she just tossed it to the
just
guest?
Just tossed it, just, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Man.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
They put those kind of people on weekends just to fill up the airtime, apparently.
Well, no, I think it's... Yeah, I think it's
just reading problems?
Yeah, just... No, she's not having a reading problem. I think it's a talking problem for Mad King Donald, as we... as I refer to him anyway. I'm not going to... Voice that off onto you guys.
Oh, the Mad Orange King. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, so what did the guest have any kind of answer for her?
There's no answer. There's no real response there. Yeah. It's just, sad. The way things are now in this god-awful new administration that we have. But, like my brothers told me over, the Christmas holiday that we had a couple of weeks ago, just wait and see. You never really know what's going to happen until you just wait and see how it affects other people and destroys their lives.
Well, that's what we're doing with the drones. Just wait and see. If it's aliens, let them flying around up there. They're just having a little fun.
Mars invasion. That's all it is. That's all. That
Mars attacks.
Could be that.
Could be just like that movie.
Oh yes, Mars attack.
Mars attacks. Mm-hmm. Ack, ack.
So a lot of people are talking about the new administration, how it's coming together.
Yeah.
The nominees that Trump is trying to put in place, and one of them is David Perdue. He spent his entire business career getting rich by outsourcing our jobs to China.
Okay. I don't know much about
him. He's no China hawk. Mm. And he works with the Chinese government as a business partner, basically. And these people say one thing to their sheeple to do the exact opposite eventually. And I'm bringing it up because, Trump has named him the new ambassador to China. So what, we can outsource more or maybe get a little money back from those outsourced jobs? Or what is it? What are we looking for with this guy? Huh?
David Perdue. That name doesn't ring a bell. It seems like an important job going over to China to be an ambassador.
And, as we're, Doge... Yeah. Elon's big group there looks at cutting our social safety nets so we really don't have anything to back us up in case we get into trouble or lose our jobs or run into bad times because of the administration's plans for us. we're in desperate need here, so we should just look towards South Korea, maybe. What do you think, South Korea?
Well, what's happening there? Why should we look there?
The main opposition party, the Democratic Party in South Korea, decided Monday to revise its platform to include a basic society welfare plan centering on guaranteeing universal basic income. We've talked about that on this program.
Yes, great idea. Just a basic income that you can count on.
Exactly.
And to cover hopefully some of your expenses or maybe a lot of your expenses.
That's right.
You can, survive instead of becoming homeless.
Everybody gets a paycheck from our own tax dollars that we send into the federal government. They get a paycheck just to kind of hold them over.
That's a great idea.
Pay for the basic needs, and if you need to supplement that or you want to live a little more extravagantly, get a job.
Get a job.
So anyway, it's a universal basic income. They're going to it. The new party platform will better reflect their long-sought vision for a basic society with state-funded basic income, basic housing, and other living standards, which he believes will help improve the people's livelihoods. That the prime minister there. So it's a big deal. The DPK also decided to revise the party's charter to expand penalties for those who refuse to accept the party's election nominations. It's a little tough, you know. Currently, those who refuse to accept the results of primaries are banned from running for public office on the party's ticket for 10 years. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, no opposition. You accept the nominees or you're out for 10 years anyway.
That's South Korea.
That's South Korea. That,
they're Democrat. They are. Yeah. It's not the communist side.
So I think the basic universal basic income is just a huge thing. It's been tested throughout the entire United States in places you would never have guessed. I mean, these are red states that some of them are being tested in. And they're having success.
Kind of what happened during the pandemic.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. You know, the pandemic offered us so many opportunities to try programs that we're afraid to try before. Mm-hmm. And we ended up having to do that, especially, you know, cutting poverty in half for families.
It did work.
Overwhelmingly worked. But as you know, the Republicans don't give a damn about the success of any program except their own tax cuts, which are never a success. I don't know how that works. Somebody please help me. I sit in a daze in my living room thinking, how is this working? But anyway, maybe it's what I'm drinking.
Maybe you got to lay off the eggnog a little bit. Stop staring at that lava lamp. Looking for inspiration.
Maybe Anne is spiking my coffee in the morning. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, could be.
But it's a great idea, and it should be attempted at least in most of the markets in this country.
One of the most significant things that I think the Jetsons got wrong about the future. I think in the future there's going to be a universal basic income because so many, even in the Jetsons, so many things have been automated. They've got Rosie, their own like home cleaning lady robot.
Right.
apply that to the workforce. We've got so many things that like do things for people now, and who's reaping the fruits of that? The companies who employ the robots, not us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. But and you know, in this gig economy, we should be getting a basic universal income.
Yes,
because you know a lot of people aren't making that kind of money. They're working under the table, which is kind of ruining their attempt to get Social Security later on in life, at least a decent pay. So you really have to have your income reported. You have to have money taken out for FICA, the payroll tax.
Right.
So you need to have that taken out in order to get your Medicare and Social Security later on in life.
Exactly.
And so the gig economy is kind of shortchanging our generations here, like Gen Z. Mm-hmm. You're going to be working at a whole bunch of different jobs. Technology is going to keep changing what we work at and how we work. So I think, you know, a basic income is just the next step. And we're trying to convince Republicans of doing something as crazy as adopting something like this. It makes sense, right?
It does.
So I don't know.
They've got a bunch of billionaires there. They could all chip in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, the billionaires. You know, they should just throw in a little bit of their income. Yeah.
It is 6:45, time for me to tell you this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by our friends at Verlo Mattress. You can sleep better, you can dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's East Side or their West Side locations, or go online at verlo.com and find out about their lifetime guarantee on their handcrafted mattresses. Sam?
This just in. Well, not just in, but surprised I'm hearing about this through our company's engineering chat.
What?
Two Amazon facilities in New York are on strike right now. And they mentioned it in that chat because engineers got to buy equipment. And there might be some extended shipping times for getting those things in.
Oh, just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
They're going on strike.
No, just in time to redo our studio here.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Thought they were going to do that over the holidays or maybe right after the holidays.
Yeah,
right.
Sometime in mid to late January is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Here we are sitting on some old wood folding chairs. Yeah.
card table.
Okay, two of them.
It's not bad.
But good for those workers in New York fighting for better working conditions.
You know, these Mr. Mikes don't work too badly.
They sound pretty good.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Except when the battery starts.
Well, yeah.
Starts going.
It's okay. It's all good. Okay.
I found this interesting little chart.
What's that?
It is Americans' beliefs about the federal government's responsibility to ensure all have health care coverage, okay? Do you think it is the responsibility of the federal government to make sure all Americans have health care coverage? Or is that not a responsibility of the federal government? And I could show you the chart, but that wouldn't help on radio too much. Okay. So instead, I have an alternative to that. I'll just tell you the number. People who think the government's responsibility should be to help people get health care is at 62%. That is a gigantic percentage of people. And that is an upswing, by the way. Mm-hmm. So it is going up and up and up, and people are starting to see that this is really important. And I think with the shooter who killed the CEO at United Healthcare, mm-hmm. I think that is spurring a lot of interest now in what insurance companies do, the costs that they incur, and how much they're charging us, and how many profits they are making each and every year. So that's 62% is a great percentage. It's encouraging. And it's down, by the way, 36% don't think the government has any responsibility to help its Americans live a life of health in this country. I don't know, 36%. And that's down. That's dramatically down. So I think people are starting to turn on to the idea of getting universal health care, even though the Republicans show no signs of doing any of that. In fact, our billionaire class that Trump is putting in place right now for his administration, they're all billionaires. Mm-hmm. They're private sector people. They want corporations to control all of this, and they want health care controlled by private insurance companies. And that is their plan to at least make like private healthcare accounts in banks, the way we pay for our healthcare. It's all wrong.
Coming back with more of John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
By the way, John, I forgot to mention the Verlo mattress. They have something going on right now, a clearance sale going on.
Oh, excellent.
So you know how we talk about Verlo mattress and they are lifetime guarantees and they're on the east side and the west side. They have a clearance sale going on.
Start the new year in a new mattress.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
All right.
Okay, this is
a huge, huge story about banking regulations. Mm-hmm. If you have a bank account and you pay your bills through a bank account, this might be of interest to you. Vivek Ramaswamy said this: "Easy times create weak men." I'll just let this thing roll. This is Chris Hayes talking about Vivek's new comment. And an approach to the FDIC and getting rid of it.
Okay.
He seems to have a lot of energy around reducing regulation. And my point of view, if I can help him do that, I'm going to help him. Because we do have too much regulation in this country.
What do you think is a possible primary target in this war on regulations? How about the money in your bank account? According to the Wall Street Journal, in recent interviews with potential nominees to lead bank regulatory agencies, President-elect Donald Trump's advisors and officials from his newfound Department of Government Efficiency, which is just a thing that's not connected to the government, have asked whether he could abolish the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Deregulation is one of those things that sounds great, I think, to everybody in the abstract. I mean, we have all in our lives bumped up against some regulation. And they're only talking about it because of America's frequent amnesia about why some regulations exist to begin with.
Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. And weak men create hard times.
And only through that strength can we secure a life of peace and comfort. But wait, that makes all the men soft and weak again? And then the bad times come back, yeah. And the cycle repeats. Yes, it's a dumb sort of online tough guy kind of thing. It's particularly funny because I think a lot of times the people posting about it are basically like 15-year-olds playing video games. We have regulation for a reason. Bad times, catastrophes, and disasters bring about good regulations. Good regulation creates the conditions that prevent disasters. Back in the roaring 1920s, the age of easy credit and securities, there was a huge push to deregulate banks and businesses. And you'll never guess what happened. A stock market crash and a Great Depression. An experience so foundationally traumatic for America that FDR's New Deal government rolled out a whole slew of banking regulations, including, you guessed it, the FDIC. That's the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, to stop bank runs and shore up the financial system. And that system worked really well. We basically, in this country, stopped having bank failures for decades. It wasn't the 1930s anymore. We figured it out. We didn't need financial regulation. We were in good times.
Except.
You should just let banks operate more like casinos and use your deposits to make tons of leveraged bets on risky mortgages for overvalued homes.
Hey.
And you'll just never guess what happened.
Tonight, meltdown. The American financial system is rocked to its foundation as top Wall Street institutions topple under a mountain of debt. Coming up tonight, how did it happen? What's next? And how safe is your money?
It was America's worst, most devastating financial crisis since the Great Depression. So after that, we got another round of new regulations, limiting just how fast and loose banks can play with your money.
This is big.
And that new regulation drives bank CEOs generally crazy. They don't like it. Do you remember last year we had a couple of high-profile bank failures? Silicon Valley Bank, First Republican Signature. But instead of another systemic failure, the system held in large part because the regulatory environment stopped it from spreading and cascading. And so now, some in the incoming Trump administration are openly talking about getting rid of the FDIC, which is one of the greatest banking regulation inventions of all time. It's the agency that guarantees if your bank does fail, you get your money back, insuring it up to $250,000. It also means if banks start to look like they're going to fail, people don't rush to take their money out, thereby causing bank failures. Bank runs. It doesn't cost taxpayers anything. The money for payouts actually comes from a premium the government charges the banks. Ingenious.
And they hate it.
The riskier bank is, the higher its insurance premiums. So you can guess who doesn't like this system, who would rather not pay into it. As the Journal's reporting noted, FDIC deposit insurance is considered near sacred. Any move that threatened to undermine even the perception of deposit insurance could quickly ripple through banks and in a crisis might compound customer fears. Yeah, might do that. Might do that if your deposit insurance went away. But the incoming administration and the Bezoses and Musks of the world don't seem to care. Strong men suck in the cycle of overconfidence in their power to deregulate America because they've enjoyed the stability that comes with good regulation. We can probably guess what will happen next.
Yep, you can guess. And here we are. You know, we have a lot of our money in the bank or credit union. It's guaranteed by the federal government, and we'll get it back.
Safe.
Yeah, it's safe.
Yes.
And we all work from that. Everybody who has a home or any kind of responsibility whatsoever depend on that. If you have a small business or any kind of business, you're in the banks or the credit unions. So all of a sudden, they want to get rid of the guarantee of being able to get your money back in case something devastating happens to the economy.
Yeah, it's time to start burying your money in a sack in the ground again. Start buying up gold, other assets. That's what we're going to do now,
Sean. I knew you had a solution.
Right. Okay. Stick it under your Verlo mattress.
So let's play Ramaswamy. Quote one more time here. Cut 94. All right, let's play this. Remember this now.
Got just a minute.
Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. and weak men create hard times.
All right, so I've rewritten this. So hard times like the pandemic created strong men like Joe Biden, and that strong men created easy times with a great economy.
Yes.
And easy times created weak men like Trump, Ramaswamy, and Musk, and weak men warned that hard times are coming, right?
Okay.
That's it. I got
you
it.
You did it.
All right.
Man, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, way to go. I
thought I'd sum it up.
Thank you for doing that. Okay.
Save the FDIC.
Yes. All right. Coming up right around the corner, Civic Media's grown-up gift list text-to-win contest will reveal the key word. And about a half hour, perhaps Mayor Paul Sagler. Okay. Coming up on John and Gordy in the morning.
Gordy in the morning.
That's
what I said. As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.